Awesome. Well, it's nice to have so many people here. Last week we had six guys, and now we've gone to like a lot of you, so that's fun. But we had a wild time last week with just six of us, hey, Kerr? If you want to have some an exciting testimony, ask Kerr what happened last week. She was having fun. I was at a wedding on Saturday, and it was amazing being at a wedding because it started a whole line of thought in my mind, because Paul and a lot of the writings in the New Testament talks about marriage and how our relationship with God has become a marriage. And I was a very close friend of mine. I made a speech, and I was marrying my second cousin. So it was really amazing to see what God's done. He's been waiting for the right person in his life for ages, and she's come along, and they're amazing together. And the whole thing of the marriage was this love they had, and we can relate to that. In a marriage relationship, there's this unconditional love that looks past your faults, look past your mistakes. It's this purest love you can imagine, and it's so evident at a marriage. And so I was thinking about that. And I wanted to talk a little bit about how Paul talks about our relationship now with God. And the one thing he talks in Ephesians, for this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. So that's amazing. He starts off saying this is a great mystery, how a man and a woman come together in marriage. And there's obviously the intimacy. There's that unconditional love between each other. But he's saying, I'm not talking about marriage. I'm talking about Christ and the church. And this whole thing of God's nature, that it says God is love. And we think, oh, God is love, but he's so many other things. But no, God's quintessential, the essence of who God is, it is love. Is love. Pure, unadulterated, unconditional, abundant love over your life. That's who he is. God is love. And he's given us marriage as a picture to understand how he wants to relate to us in that pure love. And a cool scripture I also thought we could just look at here, and how maybe we're getting it wrong. Romans 7. Therefore, my brethren, you have also become dead to the law through the body of Christ, that you may be married to another, to him who was raised from the dead. So Paul says we've died to the law, and I'll explain now what the law is, but we've died to the law so that it might be married to another. So Paul is saying you've actually been married to God. You've been married to God. And that's really exciting. And the word law, for me, we've been talking a lot about this recently, it's been really exciting. The law is me trying to qualify myself before God. You cannot qualify yourself before God. He loves you. This is love, that God first loved us. It's amazing. You see, God is the groom and we the bride. And I don't know much about marriage yet, but I read some books. No, Jax. The groom, he does the leading to the bride. And the bride responds. The groom impresses the bride. You don't have the bride going, look at me, I'm so strong, how am I doing, how am I looking? That's not what the bride is. The bride responds to the husband's love. She responds to him giving himself totally to her. And she responds back. And it's so easy for her to respond. And she loves her husband back. So I've just been meditating on this theme of God's unconditional love for us. And we've died to the law. The law says you've got to qualify for God's love. In the Old Testament it was, if I did good, God would be good to me. He would be this loving, perfect Father. If I was bad, he wouldn't be that to me. But Paul says you've died to the law. Isn't that amazing? So now we have the perfect love of the husband, the perfect love of God the Father. So he's our Father, but he's also our groom. We have that over our lives now because of what Jesus has done. So I want to talk about how God's loved us, and how he moves first. This is love, that God loved us first. It's not us doing something to get his love. He loves us first and we just respond. That's why it says anything that is not faith is sin. Because sin is actually us trying to do something. Faith is always a response to what God's done to us. And that's how grace is meant to work. So we just respond by faith to what he's done. There was Cain and Abel. When they... I'll actually read it to you. Giving you lots of scriptures if you can follow. Genesis 4. So still just following on from the theme of not trying to do something for God, but God showing us that we just must accept from him. So, talking about Eve. Then she bore again, this time his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. So what did Abel bring as a sacrifice? He brought a picture for us of the lamb. He brought the first fruits of one of his sheep. Cain, though, came and brought the fruit of his toil. It was the crops. It was his own effort. But God rejected Cain's offering, but accepted Abel's offering. And it's a picture of us straight away in Genesis that God accepts what his son does for us, his son's demonstration of love to us, not what we can give back to him. It's amazing. So my heart tonight is that we'll just let God impress us. Let God impress you. Let him love you. Let him show you how pleased he is with you. If you think you can please God, you can also disappoint him. If you think you can earn what God has, you can also then not earn what he has. But it doesn't work like that. I was just laughing just now, and God was just saying every religion in the world is just so completely different to the gospel, because the gospel is what God has done for us. Religion is what we must do. It's so self. It's so self-orientated. What can I do to get back to God? But the gospel is, it is finished. It is done. I have done everything for you. And I was just laughing, and God was just saying, it's an absolute scandal. It should blow your mind, this gospel. It is a scandal of grace. It is outrageous what he has done. And the more you are outraged, the more it glorifies God, because it's what Jesus has done. It's a scandal because of what Jesus has done. He has loved us. Every religion in the world, every attempt at God is Cain bringing an offering and saying, God, will you accept me? Can I please you? Can I get closer to you? When God isn't saying, he says, no, what I've done, I've come close to you. I am pleased with you. I have blessed you because of my son. So when you simply think of what his son has done for you, Holy Spirit just comes over you. I'm telling you, I've just been in this place where I've just been thinking of what Jesus has done for me, and I just feel God. And he's just saying, this is the way it's going to work now. You can't do anything for me. Works and faith cannot go together. It is faith. It's by faith that we receive from God. We just need to think on his son. Think of what he's done. He's so pleased with us because he's so pleased with his son. Amazing. This is exciting. Okay, so I'm going to list a bunch of points about what God's done for us. And I really just want you to let God impress you. Let him impress you by what his son has done for you. And as you let him impress you, it gives glory to Jesus. And that is what the Holy Spirit's doing all the time. That is what God is impressed with. He's impressed with his son. So really, just the battle is a battle of belief. This is the work I give you, that I might believe on the one whom I've sent. It's not a battle of doing, it's a battle of believing. We've just got to believe what God has done, how he's loved us. These things that I've written on have really helped me, and I've got to keep coming back because the battle is to believe these things. There's something in us that doesn't want to believe it. We want to somehow earn it, show God that we deserve it, but it's not. God has just done it for us. It's an absolute scandal. So I want you to think now on how far Jesus went so that you can go so far to the Father. That Jesus is so cursed that you can be so blessed. And when you think more and more on how much Jesus did, you're going to feel God's love coming over you. My first one here, maybe you want to write this down. Jesus was punished that we might be forgiven. Jesus was punished that we might be forgiven. The New Testament says he will remember our sins no more. As far as the east is from the west, he's forgotten our sins. I'll remember your sins no more. David said, blessed is the man who God will not count a sin against him. So we don't just come to God with our sins forgiven. We now stand in a constant waterfall of forgiveness over your life. You've got to get it. You can keep sinning now and you'll still be forgiven. You've got to realize how far His grace has gone. We've been talking about this, but you've got to get a revelation of how far His grace is over your life. You honestly can God undo your worst thing and His forgiveness is still over your life? Because if His judgment isn't, if His judgment still rests over your life, how are you going to respond to Him? In fear. And you're no longer the bride anymore. You're not responding to the groom because there'll be fear in your relationship. But he will never count your sins against you again. And many Christians come to God and they think they've been forgiven. But then they try and please Him again. They say, oh God, I've sinned. I've got to show you that I'm sorry. But His atonement is perfect, past, present, and future. You've got to get a hold of it. You are standing constantly under the waterfall of His forgiveness. He will never impute your sin against you. It's unbelievable when you get hold of that. Was it Mary Magdalene who came and poured herself at Jesus' feet and wept and poured the perfume over His feet? And Jesus said, he who has been forgiven much will love much. When you get a revelation of how much you've been forgiven, you'll love Him more and more. When you get a revelation that when you go and sin, He still just loves you. He's still just saying, I love you. It's the bride and the groom picture. When you are selfish or rude or something to your wife, your husband just loves you still. He looks past it. That's the Father's heart still for us as Christians. That frees us to love Him. It frees us to not respond to Him in a fearful way. And when you just feel that love over you, you just want to purify yourself more to stand under that love even more. And I'm sure many of you can understand that. As your husband just loves you more and more, you don't want to be selfish anymore. You can't believe this unconditional love. You want to show Him back. And so you purify yourself. John talks about those who have this glorious hope purify themselves. So we don't purify ourselves to earn something. We purify ourselves because we just can't believe this unconditional love that's coming over us. And that's how we're sanctified. Let God impress you. So Jesus was punished that we might be forgiven. Jesus was wounded that we might be healed. It talks in Isaiah how God, you can help me with the scripture. He was wounded that we might be healed. Who knows the scripture? He was wounded. God's kingdom, His perfect kingdom that is in heaven, can now come onto earth because Jesus has won us healing. He was wounded for us so that we might take healing. And the more revelation we get of His wounding, of what we went through, we will see more and more of the healing that's available to us. We don't deserve healing. Jesus won us healing. Get a revelation of how far He went. Just believe on Jesus and we can have healing. I'm talking about every kind of healing, emotional, physical healing. God wants to give you everything that is in heaven onto earth because of what Jesus has won for us. The shalom, the peace of heaven, is now available for us on earth. The shalom is the wellness of your entire body, your physical body, your emotional health. Isaiah 53, God doesn't want us to carry depression, anxiety, hurt. He wants to break it off us. He wants us to be free. I'm sure we can maybe pray for some of that stuff later. And my favorite stuff that has just been blowing me away, Jesus was made sin with our sinfulness, that we might become righteous. We've been talking about this a lot. Jesus was made sin with our sinfulness that we might become righteous. How many sins did Jesus need to commit to become the sin of the world? None. How many acts of righteousness do we need to do to become the righteousness of God? None. Isn't that amazing? The divine swap, the divine interchange. How many sins did Jesus need to commit to become the sin of the world? None. How many acts of righteousness do we need to do to be declared righteous forever in God's sight? None. And what does that point to? What Jesus did. And the more we see how wonderful it is, the more we feel how worthy we are. And I wrote a word last week which we didn't even get to because we were dancing. Jesus was saying, look up, you are worthy. As you look up and say, I'm worthy, you glorify my Son. Because He has made you worthy. Look up and say, I'm worthy. You've got to start getting it. We want to cower down. And as we're cowering, we're disrespecting what His Son's done. We've got to look up and realize what His Son has done for us. He's made us righteous. He became sin so that we could become righteous. It's a scripture. Jesus, who knew no sin, became sin for us so that we might become the righteousness of God. Isn't that amazing? And you think it's too good to be true, but it is too good to be true because God's orchestrated it. And we've got to get over our unworthiness and start realizing that we're worthy, that we're righteous. And we've been going on about it, that we are saints. That we are saints now in God's sight because of what Jesus has done. It's always because of what Jesus has done. That one gets me amped. Jesus tasted death that we might share His life. Jesus went so far into death so that we can go so high into life. We've got to get hold of that. He tasted death. Death, separation from His Father, so that we can share in the abundance of life. I've come so that I can give you life, life to the full. There'll be springs of living water flowing out of your stomach. That's what God says. There'll be springs of living water flowing out of you. God wants to give you life because His Son tasted death. Jesus was made a curse so that we might receive His blessings. We cannot earn God's blessings. How many of us, when we became Christians, somebody said to us, okay, now if you start doing that and that and that, God will do that, 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 that. We've just done exactly what we talked about with Cain and Abel. We're trying to offer something to God to earn something. We cannot earn His blessings. Because if we can earn them, then we're saying we're adding to what Jesus has done. Jesus has made God's fullness of His blessings that He wants in our life. Ephesians says every spiritual blessing has been given to us. It's because of what Jesus has done. Jesus was so cursed so that we can become so blessed. And we enter in just by believing in it. It's unbelievable. And blessing is everything from resources in our life, material resources, to the blessing of His presence, to health, to everything. It's what Abraham had. It talks about in the Testament, the blessings of Abraham will come over you. And we go and read about what Abraham had in his life. God blessed him above everyone else. It says that the blessings of Abraham will come over you. So when you're thinking that you don't deserve God's blessings, you don't. You don't deserve it. But Jesus has won it for you. So think on what He's done. Don't look into yourself. You're going back to what Cain did again. Okay. Think on what Jesus has done, and suddenly you will believe that you are actually entitled to all of God's blessings. It's so simple, this gospel. This is the work I've given you. Believe on the one whom I've sent. This is the work that I've given you. The work isn't to try and earn it. The work's to believe on the one I've sent you. It's actually quite funny when you start thinking about it. It's an absolute scandal. It's a joke. We should be laughing. It's so easy. It comes on us so easily when we just believe. Believe on Jesus. I'm telling Him, I've walked like a loser for 10 years. I'm just starting to get this stuff. Jesus endured our poverty that we might share in His abundance. Jesus was made absolute poverty. He really was. Think about what He went through on the cross. God Himself enduring absolute poverty so that we can share in His abundance. And I don't mind saying, God, I want Your abundance now, because I know how much it cost Him. It doesn't bug me anymore to ask Him. I know He's got storerooms in heaven for me, because when I claim that, I'm claiming what Jesus has done for me, and God is stoked because He knows I'm looking at His Son, and it's glorifying His Son. And He's saying, I'm going to bless you now, because as soon as you get blessed, you're just going to point more to My Son. Yeah. And the word favor, the Greek translation says you'll be made, the world will be jealous of you. And it's not arrogance to say that. It's because God has put so much on His Son, and His Son went so far for us that He wants to now make heaven open on us. Yeah. We've got to get a hold of that. And as we receive of God's abundance, if we're in the right spirit, and I believe God, as soon as we get that revelation, He's just going to start pouring stuff over us. I'm telling you. That's His heart. And as soon as we just start receiving it by faith because of what His Son's done, we're going to receive everything He has for us. He is an abundant Father. He wants to bless us. He bore our shame that we might share His glory. The theme in this whole thing is Jesus went so low so that we can go so high. Isn't that amazing? Jesus, it's all about what Jesus did. Just believe on Him. Just believe on what he's done. He's gone so low for us. And as you just believe on what he's done and really believe in your heart, the Holy Spirit just comes over you. Just starts loving you. Because God just loves his son. Just loves his son so much. So when we just start to love Jesus, God just is loving us. And it's like this big circular flow of the Holy Spirit. Does anyone know what I'm talking about? Okay. So he bore our shame that we might share his glory. Just this thing, we are become glorious saints. It says the creation just waits in expectancy for the sons and daughters to be revealed. To be the sons and glories to be revealed. And Jesus right now in heaven is actually in his bodily form. He's a man. And he's become a man, and one day we'll be men and women and in this shape. Isn't that incredible? We'll be the first fruits. We'll be sons and daughters of God. I mean, it's hard to... We can just dream about that sort of stuff. Being sons and daughters of God. And we'll be glorified sons and daughters. Sure. Jesus endured my rejection so that I might have the Father's acceptance. So once again... Yeah, and say something.
Say it again.
He endured my rejection so that I might have the Father's acceptance. The Father's acceptance is based on Jesus' rejection. So we all know the picture of God, Jesus on the cross saying, "Father, Father, why have you forsaken me?" And it was God's rejection on Jesus. He really rejected him. He really became the sin of the world. And if you can imagine that the Holy Spirit, God, the Son, in eternity past, were together in a love relationship. And for that moment, we've all heard this before, God rejected his Son. He really was rejected. And became the sin of the world. The consequences of that sin came upon Jesus. And as John the Baptist cried out, "Behold the Lamb of God that will take away the sin of the world." He saw that thing prophetically. There he was baptizing people, and he saw Jesus coming along the shore. "Behold the Lamb of God that's going to take away the sin of the world." It blew him away because he knew what Jesus was going to do. So we now have the Father's acceptance, the perfect Father's acceptance, because Jesus was made rejection. And that word acceptance just means so much. So maybe we can pray that later. I'm sure there's people in our hearts who still just maybe don't even feel that. God wants us to supernaturally feel his acceptance over us. The normal Christian life is a supernatural one. The song we're singing in the beginning of the service was, "He lives in me." I mean, he lives in me, God himself living in me, constantly reminding me of his acceptance, constantly reminding me that I'm his bride, constantly saying to me, "You're worthy," constantly reminding me that I'm righteous. He doesn't convict us of our sin, he convicts us of our righteousness. Isn't he wonderful? He's constantly reminding us how much he loves us. That is his conviction inside of us. So I really would love to pray for anyone who just doesn't have that supernaturally over their life. Because if you're not supernaturally feeling it over you all the time, you're going to go and look for it somewhere in the world. And once again, the work is that you believe in these things. It's not doing, it's believing it. Paul said that you might know that the love of Christ, not know how to love Christ more, that you might know the love of Christ over you. God loves us, and then we love him after that. But the main commandment, love the Lord your God with all your heart. Oh, I'm going to try and love God. I'm going to try so hard. What can I do? How can I? Back under law, trying to qualify ourselves. This is love, that God first loved us. We need to feel God's constant flow of his love and acceptance over us supernaturally. You need to feel it reminding you the whole time on your inside. It's such a battle. And he actually is saying that over. He is saying it us over now, but we don't believe it, so we don't feel it. So the work is to believe it. And how do we do that? Not sure. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. Maybe something's being imparted. Hopefully. Yeah. Jesus was cut off from God so that I might be joined to God. It's also amazing. Jesus was cut off from God so that I might be joined from God. Once again, he took the worst so that we can take the best. He went so low so that we can go so high. He was cut off from God so that we might be joined with him. There's a scripture, I wish I knew it properly. He says that Those who are born again, that have come into relationship, are one spirit with the Lord. One spirit. It's like marriage again. The bride and the groom coming together. One flesh, one spirit. Never to be separated. You can't do anything to lose your salvation. It's a big gigantic lie to make you fearful. God has done the move. He has joined you in one spirit. You've got to start standing on that and standing in the freedom of being loved like that. Stand in the freedom. Paul said, stand in the grace of God. Stand. Don't let those... He talked about people saying they were dogs. They've come to mutilate the flesh. It's about people coming into the church and trying to deceive the people to try and be fearful again of God, that they can offend God, that they can be separated again from God. No. Those... What God has done... The same thing when you get married. No man separates. You one spirit with the Lord. You've got to get hold of that. What freedom. No matter what I do, His perfect love over me, nothing can separate me from the love of God. When you start to experience that unconditional perfect love over you, you will want to purify yourself because you'll want more of it. Yeah. And that scripture makes more sense now. Luke, you can help me there. Those who are holy will see the Lord. What's the scripture? Those who have a pure heart will see the Lord. You want a purified heart so you can feel more of His love. That's been my new motivation. Not to get anything from God. I just want to experience more of this unconditional love that's over me. Yeah. My last one. Your old man was put to death in Jesus, that the new man might come to light. That the new man might come to live in us. We died on the cross with Jesus. We actually died. The old nature died with Jesus on the cross. We actually died there. And the new nature is now in us. That's amazing as well. We think we've got to do this big battle, but I think the big battle now is just to believe that we actually have the new nature and that we want to follow God and that we love God really. We don't actually have to battle and fight it out. We just actually have to believe that it's in us. And last week, I had this amazing picture. It was that age-old scripture that's burdened me for so long. Carry your cross, deny yourself, follow me. Carry your cross, deny yourself, follow me. And for so long, that felt so burdensome that I had to deny myself and carry my cross. So hard to follow you, God. And I had this picture of Jesus walking up this hill, and there were a whole bunch of people shouting for joy behind him. And he's saying, I've carried your cross for you. I've carried your cross for you. I've gone uphill. It was incredibly hard for me, but your relationship now with me is going to be a downhill ease. It is easy because it was hard for him, so it'll be easy for us. It's not hard for us. You've got to get over that thinking in yourself where you think it's hard. It's easy for us because he's carried it for us. And you need to start receiving it from him. He's carried our cross for us. For 10 years, I've been trying to carry my cross, realizing how hard it was to fight myself, to deny myself. But he's saying, come follow me, a joyful procession up a hill. And when he's saying, deny yourself, deny your attempts to try and do this yourself, if you actually look in the Greek. And I only discovered that in the last weeks. Deny your attempts to do it yourself. Die to yourself to try and do this. Follow me, I've done it for you. Come and die with the cross on me. Come and die with the cross with me. Jump on that cross with me. And God was just saying to me, I've gone up the hill, you can now go down the hill. It's easy. And Carl's going to sing us a song later about this. Is that helping, guys? Yeah. This is like, I've been on a whirlwind thing the last 6 months. I've been like, God has just been shattering me, and it's been such a blessing to him to show me these things. I could have walked my whole life misunderstanding what God had done for me and what religion was putting on me, trying to qualify myself for God. But just taking a step back and being the bride and letting the groom love you. Amazing. Just let him love you. It's always him doing something first. Faith is always a response. Dead works. It's always us trying to do something. And how easy is faith? It flows so naturally. It flows so naturally when it's him loving you first. Let him impress you. He is the groom. We are the bride. Let me see if I can say anything more here. No, I'm going to leave it there. That's cool. Before I was preparing for this preach, I really felt God was saying, know the love of Christ. Know it. Know His love for you. Don't say, God, can I love you? Know His love and respond. I promise you, when you feel His love, you're very easy to respond. Because He's put a new nature in you that wants to respond. But when we don't want to believe it and we're trying to strive, we don't even know the love. Let Him impress you. I really hope we can just have worship now where God impresses us again. And straight away, there's going to be this natural flow from the new creation in us that wants to love Him back. We want to love Him back. It's in us. He's given us a new nature.